Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex. The fauna and the flora amongst us, all children of sex, with a capital X. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an A? Women.
A women.
Huh. Yes, indeed. I want to welcome you to the little love church of the Bonobo Way in the village of Bonoboville. This is my 13th bedside chat of the coronapocalypse. Inspired by FDR's.
Yeah, you don't even have a mic.
Max, we hear you.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Yes, indeed, that's Captain Max. And I am the Reverend Dr. Susan Block. The FDR of sexology. That's what somebody called me. But, yeah, FDR, baby. Very cool. Fireside chats to warm the nation in a cold time of Great Depression. And now we're in another time of depression, protest, disease, unrest. And since our president is no FDR, well, you could just come into bed with me. Well, it's a couch, but you know, you get the idea. Some people sleep on their couch and do other things. Anyway, fireside chats, yeah. Speaking of fire, that big ball of fire in the sky is having its day. Yay! It's summer solstice. Woohoo! Also called midsummer. The longest day of the year, where the sun is directly above the Tropic of Cancer. And it's, you know, the sign of the warm season. And the moon is called the honeymoon So sweet. Because it's kind of golden, so they say. And everybody drinks mead. You know, mead. We drink agua. Some people drink mead. And it's made of fermented honey. So honeymoon, you know, and many weddings are on the summer solstice. Good time to get down, baby. It is a pagan holiday, as all the best holidays are. Valentine's Day, Christmas, spring equinox, at least originally. Mm-hmm. On the solstice, the sunrise aligns with the ancient stones of Stonehenge. Yes, indeed, you can catch a shot of Stonehenge over there. And basically, a shot is all we're going to be able to get this year, brothers and sisters. That's right. Every year, thousands of druids and pagans and tourists would gather at Stonehenge. But not this year. It's the coronapocalypse, don't you know? And Stonehenge is closed. What you gonna do? It's 2020. So they are gonna have it for the first time online. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters. Human life is becoming virtual. Yeah. And it's not a conspiracy of liberals. Not really. And it's not a conspiracy of conservatives either. It's the result of rampant capitalism, accompanied by a religiosity that compels us to use our sexual drive in service of procreation at the expense of the much more ecological recreation. And, it's destroying our environment, you know. And it's causing us to be competitive and greedy and scared and making war on each other and our mother, the Earth. Acting like amosexual baboons instead of following the bonobo way. Hey, yay, yay, let's do it. Let's have a bonobo summer of love, brothers and sisters. Catch the poster. Yeah, a bonobo summer of love, brothers and sisters. And, it's the time. 'Tis the season of hot nights, hot sex, fairies flying the friendly skies. Masked fairies, of course. This is the coronapocalypse. Gotta wear your mask. And by the way, Governor Newsom agrees with me. He's making everybody wear a mask. But Governor, you gotta wear your mask correctly, not let it like sink down. Although, you know, the pictures of him with it sunk down, maybe there weren't people close to him. And yeah, everybody must wear masks. Cover yourself. If you got to cover your genitals, why not cover your face? Your genitals aren't going to hurt anybody. Your mouth and nose might. Mm-hmm. Right now. I mean, it's a temporary thing, right? Unless one COVID leads to another. Woo! Yeah, well, we have been fucking with Mother Earth. And she is fighting back with the weakest of her children, little viruses, against the strongest humanity, and we shall see. I know it sounds like I'm not on humanity's side, but that's not true. I'm human. So I want humanity to win, especially against this goddamn little virus. And I'm not just talking about Trump, although, you know, the Trump virus is pretty annoying. Although I think it's going away. I think we're getting rid of it without a vaccine. Yes, you can't cure stupid, but you can vote it out. We keep him masked in here, even though he won't stay masked anywhere else. Because he's the Jim Jones of, you know, the COVID era, the Corona apocalypse. So, speaking of the Corona apocalypse and summer solstice, it's even more special tonight if you look up from Saudi Arabia, or actually very early this morning. You might see an amazing solar eclipse in a ring of fire. Check it out. Yeah, a ring of fire. And it's very, very beautiful, but it's also kind of mystical. So some people think, and you can imagine why. I mean, look at it. And also, there's the timing. According to certain calculations in the Mayan calendar. Yes, I should wear my, is this a Mayan mask? Or we don't know. I'm not sure if this is Aztec or Mayan, but according to the Mayan calendar, tomorrow, if you're tuned in live, will be the end of the world. Bye, world. Well, I don't know. It's true that that's what they say. I mean, it was actually supposed to be a few years ago, in a way, according to this Mayan calendar. But then they figured that there was some reason because of the Gregorian calendar being off every once in a while, like leap years or something like that, that the Mayan calendar adjustment had to be made, and therefore, if you make it, it's tomorrow. Of course, if you're watching this as an archived show, it's probably way past tomorrow and we're okay. It's those of you who are tuned in live that just don't know. Woo! The end of the world. But what does that mean, really? I think it's also subjective. That maybe could mean whatever you want. Could mean for me, for instance, the end of this system that's killing Mother Earth and that pits us against each other out of greed, and that represses our better bonobo nature in terms of our sexuality. So that's what I choose to believe. And, the divisive, the devastating, the sexist, the racist, the capitalist system. Maybe that's what it'll be an end to. And speaking of which, if you're tuned in live, and the world hasn't ended yet. Well, yesterday was the 155th anniversary of Juneteenth. Yes, indeed. Which, of course, should be a national holiday. And everybody's saying that now. I actually said that in 2001. That's right. when I first heard of it, I thought, wow, this is an amazing day. Juneteenth marks the day In 1865, when Union soldiers, you know, there was a civil war between the Union and the Confederacy. The Union were the good guys, I guess. I mean, I think that. I don't know what you think where you're watching this, because there's a lot of Confederate fans out there. But, yeah, the Union were the good guys, keeping the country together, although sometimes I think maybe they should have let the South go. But in any case, ending slavery, yeah, that was cool. And Abraham Lincoln declared it, and the Emancipation Proclamation, and yet that didn't actually do it. And he actually was dead. He was shot dead before the word got around. The word didn't get to Galveston, Texas, until this day, June 19th in 1865, when that's when the Union soldiers arrived, and that's when they said, okay, no more slavery. Now, why they took so long, people wonder, you know. Of course, things took long in those days. There was no Twitter or Facebook. And also, probably the capitalists of the time, because slavery, of course, was the bastard son, daughter, whatever gender you want to give it, of capitalism, you know. Free labor, hey, pretty free. So, you know, they wanted to get more free labor out of the slaves for, you know, I don't know, at least a harvest. And that kind of sucks. It definitely sucks. But at the same time, it is a holiday celebrating freedom. So, you know, it's a nice holiday. It's a great holiday. And we celebrated it here every year. Well, not every year. Some years we forgot. Like last year, we didn't forget, but I was at ASECT in Philadelphia, so it didn't work out. But 2001 we started, and 2018, that's when we had a really fun time, Ikor singing Ikor the Wolf. Oh! And a very nice couple, Franquito and Taira. And they did a Bonoboville communion, which was very meaningful for Franquito, because Franquito was an altar boy. Yeah, do we have that shot? The altar boy shot? Hello? Maybe. Yeah, there we go. He's showing his cross. And I'm showing my jackhammer Jesus. Woo!
Wowee.
Yeah, we all have our fetish objects. Fetish object, by the way, original meaning is an object of worship. I guess that's still the meaning, but now it's become so much about sex. But originally, it is just a religious object of worship. So yeah, so the Juneteenth protests are amazing. I mean, they've been celebrating it for years, but off and on, and maybe it's been illegal sometimes. But this past yesterday, that's good syntax. there was an amazing celebration, maybe the biggest yet, and maybe the biggest protest. And Angela Davis is out there in Oakland. You got the Angela Davis picture there. It's very inspiring. Angela Davis. Anyway, she was a great 70s activist with the Black Panthers, helping the Black Panthers. As to whether she was a Black Panther, I'll let her say that, but she was definitely out there, and she's continued. She's quite a role model. She's fantastic, Angela Davis. And in fact, we were just talking about her on my birthday, because Riley Rays is reading about how to get beyond prisons in the book of that name by Angela Davis. And so yeah, the protests are phenomenal. Looting? Hey, looting is a problem. The Trumpists, McConnell, and all the rest have looted $1 trillion from working people and handed it to billionaires. And can someone move that stool so I can give a good spank to the presidents who I think I'm actually starting to believe will not be presidents much longer. No, that's right. It really seemed like it was coming to an end tonight. If you're tuned in live, tonight was the night of the big rally. And it was a little tiny crowd. It really wasn't a crowd. It was like a group. It was so tiny. So tiny, wasn't it, Mr. Tiny? Yes, Stormy Daniels said you were tiny, and you are. And that's why we have you gagged on your hat. You know, won't wear a mask? Well, you're going to stay under gag order with and Make America Great Again hat. No, I'm not springing for Keep America Great. And America right now could use a lot of overhauling. I mean, I love America. I'm very American. I've been all over the world. I keep coming back here. You know, but at the same time, obviously, our policing needs to be overhauled. And yes, I have been proven right again in terms of a sadistic police officer named Derek Chauvin, who I had guessed might be jealous of George Floyd. And now everybody's saying that, which is cool. I like when the truth gets out, even when I don't get credit. I'm not gonna whine like some babies. Well, maybe a little. Oh, baby. Yes, now speaking of baby, it's also Father's Day. Woohoo! Almost, if you're tuned in live. Yay, daddy. Love those daddies, right? Okay, I'm sure I'm going to say something politically incorrect here. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of people do have daddy fetishes, girls, guys, all kinds of people. Believe me, I'm a sex therapist. I know these things. More mommy fetishes, maybe, more mommy issues, but certainly lots and lots of daddy issues. And what do you give the dad who has everything? Well, I mean, you could give him a paddle, but that would be tacky. You could give him a sex toy, but that would be really tacky. Just give him the Bonobo Way. It's not really a sex book, but it has a lot of sex in it. And it's a philosophy book. And so, yeah, brothers and sisters, it's getting to be that time when I have my fantastic guests on the show. Oh, yes. And by the way, I do want to say that another aspect of the summer solstice, it's called the midsummer, I think in England, maybe in other places. And of course, Shakespeare's, one of his most famous comedies is A Midsummer Night's Dream, which is also very sexy for various reasons. Lots of couples having sex in the woods and falling in love and falling out of love and being under spells. And a fairy, several fairies, but one of them falls in love and has wild sex with an ass. That's right. An ass named Bottom. And by ass, I mean both a donkey. He was turned into a donkey by Puck, the fairy. And he's also an actor, kind of a working man who is in a volunteer acting company. And he plays himself as a lover, actually, in a Pyramus in Thisbe, and he's turned into a donkey, and his name is Bottom, Nick Bottom, and I just think it's a great time to spank your bottom. And so I'm gonna bring an expert in for that. And since now my crew is at the 6 foot distance, I'm gonna take my mask down to greet my beautiful and fabulous guest, my first guest of this bedside chat, and that is Mistress Bliss.
Hello.
Hello, Mistress Bliss. Wow, you look as beautiful as your picture. I mean, more beautiful because you're alive, you know, and moving. Wow. Look at you, that bright blue hair, that slick latex, and a nice cleavage, luscious lips. Everything, gauntlets. I love gauntlets, as you can see. I wear gauntlets.
But yeah, I'm watching.
So welcome to the Dr. Susan Block Show. How are you today?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm ecstatic to meet you.
Good.
Yes.
You are an Australian femdom, but you're in Vancouver, so you're kind of international.
Yeah, I've made the jump from London to Vancouver.
Right, and Vancouver's beautiful. Yeah,
it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah.
So you jumped from Australia to London to Vancouver.
I did.
All the English-speaking places.
Yeah. Well, my partner and I wanted to move to Europe, but it was just the wrong time, you know, during such a global crisis. So
there's that. Yeah.
Yeah. That did put a wrench in the works.
Yeah. So how are things in Vancouver? Are you sheltering in place or are you out and about?
It has relaxed a lot here. When we first arrived, it was very scary. There was a lot of people walking around. But now it's a lot more relaxed, and everyone's keeping their distance, wearing their masks for the most part. And, yeah, people are going to restaurants and bars, and life is slowly, slowly getting back to normal. So it's good.
Do you have a mask that you wear when you want to do a session? Do you
have I haven't taken any sessions yet. I want to wait just a little bit longer. But when I do, I'm going to definitely wear a mask. And all of my clients will be fitted with probably a gas mask just to make sure.
A gas mask. That works. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's a little heavy. But, you know, they should suffer for you.
Absolutely.
Right? Yes. Are you a sadist?
Yes, a smiling sadist.
A smiling sadist, right.
Yeah.
And have you always been a sadist, or did you learn to be because it's in demand?
I would say in my BDSM journey, I was a sadomasochist. I was submissive for quite a few years and still found pleasure in being a sadist, and now I'm purely sadistic.
Uh-huh. So you went through a little bit of training and what it feels like to hurt, and now you are going to deliver the pain.
I suffered for my passion, definitely.
Okay.
And it was sweet.
And when did you start doing that? In Australia or...
Yeah, I started my kink journey, I was in my early 20s. I'm turning 34 this year, so I did that for about 10 years, maybe 10, 11 years, and then made the switch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You made the switch and you don't look back.
No, I just wanted to have a little bit more fun.
Uh-huh. And what are your favorite things to do as a sadist? What do you enjoy most?
the rapport with somebody, but I very much enjoy physical pain. You know, I really enjoy CBT and impact play. And I also really enjoy human waste consumption. So watching the pain of someone desperately gagging down my waist.
Wow. Well, you are into the extreme fetishes, young lady, are you not? Yes. Well, somebody's got to do it, you know.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it. So.
Yeah, yeah. So what do they call that? Not a golden shower. It's a, well, brown shower, I guess, or something else.
Brown, golden, yeah. Everything that sort of comes out of me.
Wow. And did you have to develop the ability to do that? I always think when I hear about that, that, you know, it needs a certain kind of dom to be able to do that. It's an intimate act. I mean, so is a golden shower, and so is any kind of sex or even kink. But I guess the brown is more, even more intimate, more what our society considers private.
Yes, absolutely. It's incredibly intimate, and I wasn't aware of how sexy it would be and how turned on it would make me. And
wow.
How, you know, there's such a connection that you build with someone after they've consumed your waste. You know,
yes.
You're really connected to them forever. It did take, you know, an initial nervousness, I suppose, the first time, but now it's very relaxing. You know, there's certain, I suppose you would call it a ritual of the way that I do it.
Right.
But yeah, now I don't even really think twice about it. It's I actually look forward to it because most of the time I'm desperate to get it out.
Right. So this way you get to sit. So I guess it also has to be scheduled. You can't just do it anytime on command, so to speak.
Well, yeah. Doing things on command is complicated. There is definitely a specific time when I do things. I need to eat at a specific time the night before and 100% have a coffee, you know.
The coffee.
I need to be stimulated.
Right. So I'm going to leave this subject because I'm sure that we're losing some of our audience. However, I think at the same time we are gaining some people that are fascinated by this and know that it is rarely discussed and pun intended when I say discussed. But, you know, that's also part of it. Some people are into it, I guess. One more thing just to establish. I mean, I think from my knowledge of it as a therapist that some people are into it because they're just really into, yes, consuming your waste. But some are into it just because it's just the most, well, they think of it as the most submissive thing they can do. And they're not really enjoying it, but they just feel that it demonstrates their submission.
If you have a moment there, Dr. Susie, we have a couple of comments.
Oh.
So Jux Lee thinks she's just great, but she just out-creeped him. Because I said, do you have a question? And he says, well, I only have creepy questions, you know. So he says, I don't know, but she just out-creeped me.
Oh, with the brown showers. Well, you know, and I'm dressed the color of golden showers tonight, really. I look like somebody just peed all over
Bob
me.
Bob says you guys look amazing.
Oh, I can't.
And I didn't plan that, actually.
The most glamorous golden shower.
A very glamorous golden shower, as I feel golden showers can be. They're the champagne of kink, really. Not sure what to call brown showers. Chocolate and champagne. Anyway, what was the other comment, Max?
I just looked it up online, what it's
called. Well, the other one was that you all look beautiful.
Oh, and who said
stunning.
That?
Stunning. Well, you know, I want to say it's actually... I won't say who he is, but he is a...
Oh, he's a what?
Trumper.
Oh, trumpeteer. Okay.
You know, with the small audience.
Ah, yes, the tiny little audience that
so
Trump
tiny.
Had. Very, very tiny. Whoop, where's my tiny
penis
thing?
Torture.
Yeah, the tiny little audience. So tiny. Oh my God. I don't know. I'm not that much of a humiliatrix, but with Trump, yeah. Yeah.
It's easy. It's very easy,
you know, and to see him with such a tiny little audience struggling to get somewhere, trying to throw out racial slurs just to, you know, get a rise out of his racist audience, you know. And then the people that he paid through Craigslist to come in, that was fun. Anyway, well, you know, I don't always talk about politics with my guests, but you do have a big banner that says Black Lives Matter on your Twitter, so.
I do. I fully support it.
And how does that, you know, a lot of doms say to me that they feel they can't be political because their clients might disagree with them. And of course, you know, these days politics are so kind of this side or that side that of course some people are going to disagree with you. And so how do you negotiate that?
I'm a very take it or leave it kind of person. If you have differing opinions to me, that's fine. I'm happy to sit and debate that with you, try and convince you otherwise. But I'm never going to waver in my political opinions or my morals, despite what anyone will say, or losing clients. It doesn't bother me at all. You know, if you don't stand for anything in this world, I find that really shameful. So for those people that feel that they can't speak out, I can understand it, but I think it's a really, it doesn't really show your character, especially if you're a dominatrix. I think you should be incredibly strong-willed.
Yes.
And you're a leader, you're a guide. So I feel like you need to be, you know, you need to show people the right way. You need to show people that it's good to use your voice and it's good to stand up, especially as a woman. So,
yes.
Yeah, I'm very much a huge advocate for being politically vocal.
Well, I think that's great. And yeah, go Bonobos. Yeah, for sure.
And Dr.
Yes,
Susie.
Yes, Max.
So Jux has another question.
Oh, he does. He finally...
you guys don't know Jux.
Settled, yes.
Great photographers in Los Angeles of kink and fetish.
Yes.
And he kind of wants to know the same thing we asked the other night. What are the differences between the clientele? You know, and is one more perverted than the other, like the British versus
the Australians, you know, maybe, and the Canadians. And by the way, this is a Jux Lee finger flogger, a Jux leather finger flogger. So
the difference is interesting. I find English clients to be a lot less resolute with their kinks. They have a little bit of shame and they carry that shame with them. It's a very repressed country, you know. They're very proper. They're trying to be very good and, you know, very English. Whereas I find that people in Vancouver are a lot more open, a lot more expressive. It's probably an East Coast thing. I'm not entirely sure because I haven't spent too much time, you know, on the East Coast. But from what I have seen and experienced, they're very open, they're very filthy, they're very embracing, which I really, really like. Which is also interesting because I find that in Australia as well and in Europe, they're very open, they're very filthy, they're very perverted. And I love that. I love someone who is open and ready and is just diving into the caverns of their perverted, you know, insides. I find that really appealing and it gets my fires going, you know.
Yeah, it gets mine too.
I can see that.
Yes. Fire. It's the summer solstice. Yeah,
okay.
Let's catch fire. So now speaking of summer and pain, we have a clip of you administering a spanking, paddling and a whipping, I think, or a flogging. And it's pretty hard, and it's a young lady that you're spanking, and here you are in your spanking dungeon. And that's quite a bottom.
Put your knees up on the sides.
The great bottom.
Oh, it hurts like a bitch, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what's true.
Oh.
Yeah, it does. Collect yourself.
Wow. Play butt bongo. Wow.
Love the soundtrack.
I'm gonna scare you. No, no. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mistress Bliss on DrSusie.tv. Yay. What a nice spanking. Nice thing to do to a bottom, you know, in the time of a Midsummer Night's Dream. Yeah. So who likes spanking the best? The English?
Oh, yeah, I would say the English enjoy a good spanking. The women do. They can handle it. Yeah.
The men can't handle it.
They can be touch and go. I find that men in the UK enjoy CBT.
Mm.
They like to be ball busted.
I saw you doing that, smashing a guy's balls with your heel.
And they like to be pegged a lot.
Yeah, a lot. Pegging, yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of pegging. A lot.
Yes, well, we have actually a new page up on DrSusanBlockInstitute.com for anal sex, and we spend quite a bit of time talking about pegging because I would say that, you know, when we say that we get a lot of calls about anal sex here at the Institute, we do, and most people, when they hear that, they think, oh, it's about guys that want to fuck women in the ass. No, it's about guys that want to be fucked in the ass.
Yes, they do.
Yes. Why do you think so many guys like that?
I think it's a really big taboo for men to approach having any kind of anal penetration.
Yes.
I think it plays into this homophobic, toxic masculinity that has been ingrained in men their whole lives.
Yes.
So because that is such a prevalent thing for men, you know, that might be very degrading for them. It might push their boundaries. It might have them question their sexuality. It might, you know, completely derail them. Maybe they're married with children and this is the most explicit thing they've ever done in their lives, and that's what really gets them going. I mean, there are so many reasons why, and I've had a few of my clients have breakdowns afterwards and say, am I gay? What does this mean? My religious background, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a real journey and it's a real learning process for them. And I love that I can facilitate that in a safe environment where there's no judgment and it's just nurturing to just get off. That's what it's about.
That's true. And it's great that you provide that service. You know, it is definitely a service. And and it's a therapy. It's certainly a form of physical therapy and psychological therapy. If you like to receive anal play, anal penetration, you know, that doesn't mean anything about your sexual orientation. A lot of people like it. There's all kinds of people in this world, and not everybody is an asshole, but everybody has one. And so we all, you know, can experience pleasure there. And even very straight guys, you know, who don't want to be with guys at all, can experience pleasure in their anus, in their the taint, the perineum, up there in the P spot, the prostate. And then there are the guys that do discover their bisexuality. Isn't it the season for it right now, you know? Celebrate gay pride, baby, you know. If that's how you feel, go for it, you know. And I'm not necessarily saying go for it physically, but at least go for accepting that about yourself. And yeah, maybe go for it physically too.
Yeah, I absolutely adore my bi clients. I've had a few that it's their first time and they're very, very nervous and they're not sure what it means. And it's, you know, it's just the sweetest thing. It really is. Mm. And it's so filthy for them. You know, watching somebody experience that freedom is just really what makes what I do worth it. Because, you know, everyone should feel that way. And it's ridiculous that we don't, you know?
Yeah. So are you bisexual?
I'm everything, honey.
You're pansexual, like a bonobo.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I really am. And I always have been. And my sexuality has been incredibly open and expressive ever since I was quite young. So I've never had any, like, questions or... you know, rivals in my mind about it. It was just very fluid. And I was very lucky. I was never contested about my sexuality. So I think that's definitely what has contributed to who I am now, for sure.
So it's almost Father's Day. I don't know if they celebrate Father's Day everywhere in the world or in Canada. Is it the same day?
I don't know. I've been living in so many different countries. I'm not sure what day it is right now, to be honest.
Okay. Was your father accepting, or was he there? Or?
Yeah, I mean, my father really, he didn't really have much to say about it. It wasn't like a big deal to him. You know, he was doing his own thing. He was a bit sexually scandalous himself. So, yeah, he was dealing with...
But not with you. Not with you.
No, no. God.
Oh, good. I just want to establish that. Yeah, okay.
You know, cheating on my mother and having many partners and all of those things. So that was his journey. And he wasn't really concerned about, like, who I was having sex with. To me, a parent having that kind of concern is very strange, you know?
And you went beyond that. You know, you are pansexual. So, you know, you're not cheating because you acknowledge that. And he was... you know, he was around during a different era when it was much harder to acknowledge.
Exactly. And I feel like people from that era, they were so confounded by the boundaries of a sort of hegemonic family unit that had no growth or room to move or anything. And so, you know, the relationships that people had back then were really constricted. And I don't know how bad I can feel for that, you know. I feel like they did what they needed to do, to be honest.
And we're moving on. And now, you know, things might even really be changing in big ways. So I got to close our interview, but I really want to, again, just support your support of Black Lives Matter and of being... you know, open about your progressive politics and maintaining your position as a queen and and mistress. And keep it up.
She's great.
Yeah.
You too.
We have one more little flick we want to show you that you've seen. Okay. Of course, because it was on your Twitter, we caught it. You in the bath.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
Oh yeah. Mm.
Yummy. Well, I guess you see more of that on her site, Mistress Bliss.
Yes.
Where can we find you and more of your deliciousness and your sadisticness?
Yes, you can. And hopefully sometime soon when the coronapocalypse is over, I can come and visit you in your studio.
I would love that. We would love that. Yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, people can find Mistress Bliss at Twitter at Mistress Bliss. All right. So thank you so much, Mistress Bliss. What a beauty. So here I am putting on my mask between guests. Yeah, that was really exciting. Is our second guest ready? Oh no. Okay. Well, I didn't know that. But that does give me a chance to kind of tell a little story, actually, about a client of mine. I wasn't sure I was going to tell this story, but now that...
Close in. Go in.
Now that, yeah, I'm waiting for a guest to come on, I guess I will. So let's call him Jack. And he's kind of a conservative fellow, and he's white, Caucasian, and he voted for Trump.
Get closer.
Last year, I just want to get. Can I? Sunshine, beautiful sunshine, and of course this is your holiday. Summer solstice, the day of sunshine. Can you get me a drink? My water. So he's, thank you. That's what happens in summertime. You get thirsty. So let's call him Jack. Jack. And Jack is a former Marine, and he's been married a couple of times, and he loves women. And for a while he loved Trump. And then he decided he didn't love Trump anymore. And in fact, very often, when people fall out of love, they fall into a kind of hate. And so that's where he's at. And he is definitely not voting for Trump this year. So he says, I mean, it is not election time yet. We'll see. But what really swayed him from his Trumpsterism was Black Lives Matter. That's right. And this is a conservative guy. This is a guy who votes Republican almost all the time and voted for Trump. And, you know, basically supports all that stuff that goes along with that party and with Trump. But when he saw what was going on with Black Lives Matter, I guess, you know, he was quarantined like everybody, and he was bored, and he's looking on camera, he's looking at, you know, the protests and thinking, wow, there are people out there. I guess he's not that conservative that he went to all the protests against quarantining. you know, he didn't go to those. But he looked at that and he went, I'm going to go there. Now you may ask, why? Why would this conservative, Trump-supporting white man go to the Black Lives Matter protest? Should I be blunt? It's not politically correct to say, but it is revealing, so let me say. He went to suck cock. Black cock. That's why he went. He was excited to see all of these beautiful African-American men walking around in tank tops. And as I always say, sex is a great motivator. You know, for better and for worse. So in this case, this guy, conservative Trumper, he goes to the Black Lives Matter protest. He hangs out. He wears his mask. But then, after the protest, he gets to know a guy a black guy, and offers himself sexually. Of course, he has to take his mask down for that, and I know they're not 6 feet away, but it's like 3 feet because he was a big guy. We talked about this. But in any case, I don't really want to address the safe sex aspect. Well, I do, a little. He did, you know, put his mask back on when he came back up. They didn't kiss. You know, something we used to always think was a sign of a good situation when you kiss. Well, no, now you shouldn't. But he did this because he was horny, because he has a fetish, and because a lot of Republican and kind of racist Trump-supporting men have a fetish for sucking cock, for sucking black cock, too. It's very taboo. And in most cases, it might not accomplish anything, I guess. But in this case, and probably in other cases, what it accomplished is this guy went to a lot of protests, because there were a lot of protests. He went to all of them to make friends, to have sex, and he became revolutionized, radicalized, you might say. And he realized, you know, he shouldn't vote for Trump. That not only was it going to be bad for his new friends to have another Trump term, but it was going to be bad for him in various ways that I won't get into right now. I just want to say, it's just interesting how sex affects people and intersects, I mean that in both senses of the word, with politics, for better and for worse. In this case, I think better, my opinion. So I'll keep you posted. But in the meantime, I understand that my fabulous guest has gotten herself ready for us, and we are ready for Lily, Miss Arab. Welcome.
Hello, Dr. Susan. Thank you for having me.
Hello. I'm so excited to have you on the show. You are beautiful, and I've been watching your videos. You're very sexy, very sensuous, very intimate. You engage your eyes, your whole body, and that gorgeous hair. And but I also, you're from one of my favorite countries that I've never been to, Lebanon.
Yes,
which
exactly.
Is an interesting place.
Yeah, I was born in Beirut, actually.
Beirut, the most interesting, such a city, so much history, yeah. And a lot of problems, but a lot of culture.
Yes, also, yeah. I grew up there, and I also went to school, so I can I speak Arabic and I also write Arabic.
Uh-huh.
And then after a while my parents moved to the Netherlands, and there I got a completely different culture with that I had to grow up in.
right, a completely different culture.
Yes, in the Netherlands you have a the Western culture is different than the Arab culture.
Well, certainly, yes. I mean, I guess Lebanon for Arab countries is relatively Western, but still not like Holland.
No, not the same, no.
So what kind of...
And also you're little, you're exposed to a different language.
Yeah.
And it was also very difficult at the beginning. Like... It was really strange not to be able to express myself. That was very difficult at the beginning. Yeah.
Wow. So you didn't know any Dutch when you arrived?
No, also no English. So
Yeah. Now, at the beginning, it was like a... Yeah.
Most Dutch speak English, but I don't know if the kids speak English. What, you know, to contrast Netherlands with Beirut culture?
Okay, so in the Netherlands, I was shocked by the different way of how people... Yeah, it has been a very long time ago, so I have to think back, really, really, really think back. I am. So let me think. I think the greatest shock was how free women were, maybe.
Ah.
Like, I think that was really, at that moment, I didn't realize that, you know, how women vote and all those things, that women are empowering. And I watched a lot of, I don't know if you don't know this show. It was Xena. It was the it was about women warrior.
I know that show. Right?
Yeah, you know the show. So I was like, whoa, you know, women can be very strong too. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I think I was influenced by that, because in Lebanon I didn't have that influence.
Right, know? Right.
Well, that had a big impact on me.
And yeah. How did you go from there to being a porn star, or you could say webcam gal?
Well, it began when I went to study. I started my study at the Dutch Law University, and I wanted to become a lawyer and fight for rights of people and help innocent people who are convicted wrongfully. And I was during my course of study, the university had like this seminar where a lot of lawyers were there, and they start talking, and it was like this moment when you realize this is so not your thing.
Yeah.
Like, and I was already exploring, I don't know if you hear this, fetish parties in the Netherlands.
Sure, of course.
Like Wasteland and Bitch and all those parties where you go there, and I was already exploring those parties, and a friend of mine told me about webcam sex, and I was like, holy shit, that's amazing. Like, I was so excited about the idea. And after that seminar, I went home and I was like, I was already living on my own, and we had this college rooms, and I thought, okay, I want to try that. And so I logged in. I was so scared, but I didn't even show my face the first time. And I thought, this is amazing. I want to do this. This is so creative, so exploring my body with everybody, talking about sex so open, and everybody can be so comfortable. Yeah, I was hooked, and it was for me a real show, like giving a real show and entertaining everybody. And from that moment, I start to getting more into it. And I guess I am a person who takes everything step by step. So the first I finished my college degree. I got my bachelor, and I quit after that. I didn't
go
for my master because I was sure this is what was absolutely not my thing.
And were you already masturbating? Were you already?
Yes, it was interesting. My masturbation was at the beginning was absolutely not with the clitoris.
Right.
Didn't play with my clitoris.
What
I
did
was more.
You?
That was also something. I don't know if I should say that.
No, you can say anything.
I didn't play with mine either at first.
Yeah. So I was more like a anal kind of girl.
Oh, wow. Were you also anal, Sunshine? Or
no, I was dry humping stuff. That dry was the only humping. Way I could get off. I was dry right. humping the floor forever yeah. until I figured out how to do a vibrator.
But you were fingering your butthole. Is that right,
yeah.
Lily?
And I was. That was my way of coming.
Wow, interesting. Well, you know, we were just talking with our first guest, Mistress Bliss, about how the anus is such an intense pleasure center for men and women. And we have yeah. a new page on our institute site for anal therapy. And so that's interesting that that was yeah. the first place. Wow.
So that was my way. And if I have to compare the two, and now I can come also with my clitoris.
Okay,
I can
good.
Come however I want.
That's good. That's good. Do you think maybe, I don't know what kind of upbringing you had. Of course, I would think yeah. being from Arab cultures in Lebanon, it would be strict. So yeah. maybe you thought, I shouldn't touch my genitals, but I could touch my
maybe.
Ass. Maybe.
Yeah,
on
I
some level.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I think somehow I have to, that was what I didn't want to say was I didn't know I had like a vagina till I was like 11 or so. Mm. So that was really hard to find out right. that I actually have another hole there.
Right, right. Well, you know,
a lot of women
yeah, a lot of women don't know what's going on down there. They know, you know.
So many holes.
Hey, we're going to talk about squirting in a minute because it took me a while to figure out where things were coming from. That really taught me
yeah.
late in life. Okay, yeah. here's the urethra. Here's the vagina. Here's the asshole. We ladies, we have these three holes, and it's
yeah.
really quite amazing what wonderful things come out of them and sometimes yeah. go into them.
And how much pleasures you can get, like different kind of pleasures. And also, I didn't like only finger my ass. I was also did like this technique of crossing my legs during this.
Mm-hmm.
So it is more intense to come than only to play with the clitoris.
Right,
and
right.
also you have to use your imagination more. I didn't watch porn, so I was more busy with my imagination, and I had a very wild imagination.
Were you doing this? Was this in Holland or was this in Lebanon?
Yeah, also in Holland.
In Holland.
Also in Lebanon. Yeah.
Well, you did it a little in Lebanon. You did some.
Yeah, I did
anal
this very
play.
Young age.
Well, yeah, yeah, okay. And you kept it private, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
Or did anybody
yeah.
catch you? Nobody caught you.
Yeah, one time my mother caught me and I had like this, that was a very big problem.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a very big problem. I had to promise never to do it again. And
Did you grow up in a religious background?
Sorry?
Did you grow up in a strict religious household?
Yeah. So sex wasn't a thing that was openly discussed and mm. was also not something that you can just talk about.
Right, right. Yeah. Of course. In all religions, that's kind of yeah. true, especially the Abrahamic religions, Judaism and Christianity and Islam.
Yeah.
And which did you, were you Islamic or Christian?
I don't want to say which religion I am
okay.
because, yeah, that's, I like to be open to everybody. And I have the feeling if I say it, then maybe people will feel like, you know? So I
right.
just keep.
Well, that's very Lebanese because Lebanon has a lot of religions, different religions.
Yes.
But I do want to show a little clip because I know a lot of your fans like you to wear the hijab and the niqab.
Yes.
And
yeah.
And we just have a little clip. Are you ready for us to play? Where we put together actually a couple of things. There's the niqab.
And listen to me very, very carefully. going. Keep Yelmak Tir Quays. Go a little bit faster. Do it, do it, do it. Faster, faster. Keep going. Yeah, you're such a dirty, dirty, dirty man.
Whoa. Oh, yeah, baby. Wow. Hot stuff. And it was very realistic, but I think that was a dildo, right? It seemed like a dildo. Or was it a real one?
It was a dildo, yeah.
It was a dildo.
Was it real or was it dildo?
I have it here next to me.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move the Facebook camera. I'd like to see it. You have it right there?
I can show it to you.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I would say I want to see it in real life, but it's still, we're still on Zoom here, but it seems it's live. I want to see it live. Oh my goodness. And oh, it was the kind that squirts. Oh,
it's,
I love
enormous.
It.
Enormous.
Beautiful. And that's so about nine inches.
I made this special because I when I got this, it had a very stupid pump.
Right.
And I had this one from a Halloween party that I bought, that you can use it for shooting shots and stuff.
Yes.
So I put this one in it, and I make my own sperm cocktail.
Very, very creative.
So I use a little bit of this one and a little bit of see-through loop and a little bit of water. So it squirts better, but now it's almost empty, so I cannot squirt.
Oh, it's almost empty. Got to make more. Yeah.
Got to make more.
You should do more edging. Edging is a good thing to do. What was your major at college?
Well, the problem is I didn't do my master.
Yeah.
So I was going to do like a company. I was going to do first, when I started the first year, I was going to do criminology. But then after, I think the third year, I started to think maybe it's better to do something with company law. But then I decided I had to stop with all of it because it was not my interest. And
right, right. No, I thought you did end up majoring in something else maybe. Seems like art, or I don't know.
I think so. I think at the beginning I should have done something with art because I was also, from the age of 16, I started to paint expressionism.
Oh.
And I made a lot of paintings. I forgot to put
Do you have a painting there?
I'll show you.
You could show me your painting.
You want to see?
Do you have
but
one
I have
right
to
there?
I don't Is that to... okay?
Yeah, yeah. If you, I mean, yeah. Do you have to leave? Or look at this
yeah,
outfit.
Can I leave?
Yeah, you can. Let's show some pictures of her while she's gone. We'll show...
okay.
Or maybe we'll show her squirting. How about that? That would be distracting. She's a squirter, and when she comes back, we'll talk about squirting. But right now, here, we're going to show. Now, trigger warning, do not watch this if you don't want to see a squirting woman. This is very hardcore.
Facebook.
No Facebook. And she is doing it through her urethra.
Oh my goodness,
oh, look at those feet. Wow, beautiful. Well, while you were gone, we watched you squirting.
So this is one of my paintings.
And there's your painting. Wow, beautiful. Very, very gay pride. It's like the colors of pride.
So I think
for sure.
This was my way of expressing my opinion and my desire and without saying it. This was also one of the, I think there was a lot of birds.
Beautiful. What do those paintings have names?
Yeah, they have names, but I have to look them up.
Oh, okay. So, as I said, one of them looks very like Rainbow Pride. And you're bisexual?
I am bisexual, yes.
When did you discover your bisexuality?
That was also during college when I started going to fetish parties. And I think with sex, everything comes with me at once. So I was one time at a fetish party and I was with friends and I met this girl and she started talking if I was had ever had sex with another woman. I said no. And I never had feelings for a woman. It's very sexual always with me. I always, when I get like, when I know I am going to have sex with a girl, I get very sexual. I don't know if you had this experience.
Yes.
I get so into it.
Good.
And
well, so you I seem really like you do. That's one of the things that makes you a great porn performer is we can share your emotions so vividly. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. And so we started exploring. She showed me how I can touch her and she touched me and it was so much fun. And I thought to myself, after the first experience, I want to do this more often. And so I got in this fetish group of people and I stayed in contact with them. And one of the girls was able to squirt. And I was like, whoa, that's amazing. You know, I think every woman wants to learn to squirt. And I read on the internet that every woman can learn how to squirt. So I asked her, and she said, yeah, it's true. I only have to show you where to play. So I said, that's interesting. So she was fingering me and you know, at the beginning, I don't know if you had this experience with other women and also men. It's not very comfortable if other people finger you because they don't know what they're doing.
Well, you definitely know what you're doing. I think you can get someone to know, you know, if they take the time to learn your body, but you kind of know right away. So it's easier.
But,
yeah.
But this one knew exactly what she was
doing.
So
she was good.
She got into it and she lubricated very well. And she first massaged me and then she got like, you know, in this position.
Yes, yes, the come hither position. Yes, absolutely.
And then I got so wet and I thought, whoa. And she said, I can feel that you want to squirt, but you can't let go yet. So I was coming in that period. So I started practicing and practicing. And one day I was so hard playing. And I was like, whew, and I was like, whoa, I squirted life on the cam.
Yay. That's a great feeling. Yeah, I know the feeling. Something that I do believe every woman can do, and I have all kinds of tutorials out there on how to do it, but you seem to have learned yourself very organically, and I think you could teach other women how to do it if you want to do a step-by-step.
I did. After I started squirting, I think in every conversation I bring it up. I don't know why, but it just happens.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of women are interested, and a lot of men are interested. Some men aren't, but forget about them. Yeah.
But if you keep practicing, it gets more and more, because I can now squirt so much that sometimes I actually learned this from the men who visit me. Some of the men can actually come on their own face.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, that's amazing.
And you can come on your face, I bet, if you angle it. Can you?
Yes, I can try this too.
Yeah,
this
you could just get stuff under your ass and aim it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good. So we're almost out of time, but I also wanted to ask, how does it feel to do the porn in the niqab and the hijab? I mean, I know you get a lot of requests for that because religious repression is in a funny, odd way a turn on in terms of people who grow up with this. It's supposed to be a turn off, but it becomes a turn on. So how do you feel about performing in that?
Actually, I wasn't very comfortable doing it in the beginning, but when I started to putting it on, there was something very deep inside me that turned me on when I was putting it, when I am performing. It's like it plays on my fantasy, and I think I can feel better what people wants to see when I'm performing, the scenarios that I'm playing and doing. I think, yeah.
Do you think of yourself as a religious Muslim woman? I mean, we don't know your exact religion, but we know you're not religious, or you wouldn't be doing porn.
No.
But do you think of yourself that way? Do you kind of role play in your mind that you're a religious Muslim woman?
I go back in time, and I play the role that I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I knew. Uh-huh. So I get back in that role. It is fascinating how you also, it's also not only with this part, like putting on a hijab and getting into the role, also with getting dominant during the shows and also getting submissive during the shows. I love that different sexual parts. You know what I mean?
And now you're writing scenarios, right? Or you seem like you're always creating sex scenarios.
I love that. I love creating scenarios. I love getting a scenario in my head and thinking about it for a week or sometimes a month, and just and then film it, you know, create it. I love it.
So it seems like you're going to keep doing this. Do you see yourself as a kind of sexual ambassador among cultures? I see you that way. Maybe you don't see yourself that way. And do you know our friend in Holland, Verona Vandeler?
Yes.
You do.
Oh, that's so cool,
Oh, wow. She was just on a couple weeks ago. She's an Olympic champion, of course, a gymnast, and now a porn star.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? I mean, why not doing porn? I think I want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
It's funny that sometimes people say that porn actresses have very difficult life, and because of their difficult life, they're doing porn. I think because of our difficult life that we had, or strict life, I think that's why we know how to appreciate life and to be ourselves. You know what I mean?
Interesting, yes.
And she said it saved her life. Verona, she porn. Said, I think porn saved my life. I was like, wow, that's interesting.
Yes, and it did. And it's so basic. It's sexual. It pleases people. It pleases you.
We do what we want. We are not afraid of society. We like it. We do it. I think we appreciate life because of our experiences.
And we like it to do it, huh?
And it's true that, you know, when you have very bad experiences, it gives you a certain soul, creativity, spirit, appreciation for the good experiences. If you're spoiled, you turn out like, I know we're not supposed to talk about politics, but Trump. You turn out like this when you're spoiled, when you get everything you want. It's the hardships of life that give us character and make us sexy.
Yeah.
And you're certainly very sexy. You're very sexy. I know you went through some tough times in Lebanon, and I know you've gone through tough times in terms of all kinds of things. And we'll have to talk to you again sometime, catch up and go deeper. So to speak.
Deeper.
Yeah, well, we got to see you go deep to make yourself squirt there. That was amazing. And and of course, if you're ever in LA after the corona apocalypse, we'd love to have you here.
I would love to come back someday.
Yeah.
I had to cancel some of my trips because of the COVID-19, but I would love to visit again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the niqab has a built-in mask like this. So.
The hijab
is the one without the facial covering, right? And the niqab has the facial covering. At least that's what the internet tells me. Right. Arab Lives Matter.
Okay, you're back again. Oh,
yeah. Oh, we're gonna go. So we love you. We are gonna follow your career and follow you on Twitter at Lily Miss Arab. And that's also your OnlyFans is onlyfans.com/LilyMissArab, just like it sounds.
1 minute.
And so thank you, Lily. Thank you
so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you to Mistress Bliss. Thank you to Sunshine. Thank you to Max. Thank you to everybody here at Bonoboville. And thank you, everyone, that's tuned in now to the Dr. Susan Block Show, wherever you are. I want you to be good and be happy and enjoy this wonderful golden summer solstice. Yes. And don't loot. And that means you Republicans that are looting trillions of dollars from American working people. That's who the real looters are. Trump and McConnell and Lady G. That's you, Lindsey Graham. All right, so don't be a greedy baboon. Make like bonobos. Make love, not war. Make porn if you want, or BDSM, but don't make war. Make love to someone you love, even if that someone is you. I love you.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.
Someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk with us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, and fantasize with you. And no fantasy is too taboo. And we help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. If you've never called before, don't be embarrassed. We all need help with sex at one time or another. Even world leaders do. Maybe especially world leaders do. But I'm not going to tell you which ones. So, when you need to ask a question or play out a fantasy or just talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, call us at 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, and I've just written a new book called The Bonobo Way, inspired by my love for the make love, not war, great apes. You know, the ones who have a lot of sex in a bonobo sutra of positions, including face-to-face. But it's not just how bonobos have sex. It's how they use sex to prevent murder and war, really. They're the only great apes that have never been seen killing each other. They practice what I call peace through pleasure. With the females gently dominating the very happy, very sexually satisfied males, bonobos are special, partly because they just are, and partly because they're very, very close to us, almost 99% genetically similar to us. When it comes to being human, even being humane, bonobos can teach us so much. Which brings me to us, and more specifically to you. Is your inner bonobo longing to swing free? Would you like to tap into the hot, natural sex energy within you? Bet you would. So you can better enjoy the pleasures in life and cope with the pain. You know, the pain. And have more orgasmic, organic, sustainable sex. Who doesn't want that? Greater lust, greater trust, and better anger management. And who couldn't use a little bit of that these days? So get the book, Learn the Bonobo Way. You'll be glad you did. Then you'll want to join Bonoboville, a new global village for bonobo lovers and friends. And one last thing. The real bonobos are highly endangered, so a portion of all book sales go to bonobo conservation groups working to save the wild bonobos from extinction. Read The Bonobo Way and learn why this could be the most important eco-sexual movement of our times. And improve your love life.